Welcome, everybody, to the Lonely TARDIS, your journey through Time Lords and space. Extra special episode, extra. I'm Dolly Domofsky, and one of the things that we were missing the last time we recorded was Marcus Beer, who is here today. Marcus, hello.
Am I here?
I think you're here. You're somewhere.
No, I'm playing The Division.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, so we obviously, when we recorded the kind of post-season, post-Christmas episode stuff, a whole bunch of news broke after that. And now here we are, finally getting the gang-ish back together. There are some, you know, scheduling conflicts and some personal things have happened. But we will, we'll have everybody together again in the near future here shortly. But until then, we did want to get Marcus's viewpoint on all of this incredible big news. Steven might hop on in a little while as well. He's running around doing some errands as young lads are wont to do. So yes, the big news, of course, is that your favorite producer of all time, Steven Moffat, is leaving. Tell me how you feel, how emotionally distraught you feel at that news, Marcus.
And that's how I feel about Steven Moffat.
So what was it like when you heard that news break?
It's like, good. I mean, it's about time. And I have been, yes, one of his fiercest critics. He's had his spectacular highs and his monumental lows. I think the last season just gone has been one of his better ones. Whereas the season before that was an absolute disaster. I think it's time for somebody else. I mean, if you think about it, he has been in charge now longer than Russell T. Davis, I think. By the time he finishes his contract, he certainly will have been. So, yes, I think it's about time. I think he's proven that when he's writing one-offs or just one or two stories a season and he can focus, he's peerless. But when he has to shape and meld a whole season, he's clueless. So yeah, I'm glad he's, you know, he's taken the time to, you know, to step away. Bit disappointed that we have to wait another 9 months till the Christmas special to start getting rid of him.
Right. Well, do you think he made the decision to leave, or do you believe he was asked to leave?
Oh, no, I think he made the decision. The BBC have their favorites, and they don't want to jeopardize the other stuff that he's created. Because, I mean, he's created and has run a bunch of profitable shows for them. I mean, Coupling, Doctor Who, Sherlock, to name but three. And he's still going to carry on with Sherlock. I think they're filming season four of Sherlock right now. So it wouldn't make sense for him to be shown the door on Doctor Who and then losing him, you know, in a fit of pique for Sherlock as well. And the BBC can be very chummy about that. You know, they will always find, you know, jobs for the boys. So yeah, I think he's realized that, you know, he's perhaps told all the stories he can tell. And I think it's, you know, it's going to coincide with Peter Capaldi leaving as well.
Yeah, so that's other news that's been somewhat breaking. We're going to, for listeners, we're going to kind of sporadically throw in some brand new news, breaking news, along with some of the things that we missed talking to Marcus about. But in the pre-show, you mentioned how Capaldi initially had signed for a couple seasons, and then he added the third season, which is going to be season 10 here in 2017. And now the news kind of came out yesterday that Capaldi was actually asked to stay with Doctor Who by the BBC after Moffat leaves. And you don't think he's going to stay?
I would be surprised. I mean, he's made it abundantly clear, no matter, you know, he loves Doctor Who. And, you know, he's not gone down the route of some others who, you know, can't wait to get out of there and then denigrate the role afterwards. But yeah, it's obviously he loves Doctor Who. We all know that. I think, you know, he is, look, he's an older man. He's no spring chicken. Mm-hmm. And that's not meant as an insult. It's just, you know, it is what it is. And Doctor Who, for, you know, this new generation from 2005 on, has been a younger Time Lords game. You know, with the actors varying between sort of like early 40s and down to, you know, 28, I think Matt Smith was when he took over. Right. Because it's a very energetic show. And even though they've cut the show numbers down to, you know, less episodes per season than perhaps initially, there's a lot of running, there's a lot of traveling. You know, he's a, you know, it takes about, I think, 6 months to 6 to 8 months to film. He is a very respected actor and a director. And let's not forget, he's an Oscar winner too, because he won. I only learned this on the Graham Norton show a couple of weeks ago, that he won an Oscar for a short film he directed.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, when the I think Denzel won for, no, Tom Hanks won for Forrest Gump. Mm-hmm. Back in whenever that was. He's in demand. He wants to do other things. He wants to obviously spend time with his family as well. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, he's fulfilled his dream of being the Doctor. It will be nice to see his Doctor, you know, and we say this every time. I mean, it would have been nice to have seen how David Tennant would have handled perhaps some of the early Moffat stuff, or, you know, how Russell T. Davis would write for Matt Smith. You know, maybe when we go to the 55th anniversary or the 60th. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it would make sense. I would be surprised if he stays on. New showrunner coming in Chris Chibnall. And he will probably want his own Doctor. Which means that in, you know, 12 months time, we will be sitting and cogitating and ruminating and checking what the bookies in the UK are saying and having same discussion we had before.
You know, what's interesting is that if the season goes similar to how they did it this past year, then in 12 months time, we will be still waiting for the 10th season to start. It's 2017. I actually don't think we will get any new I don't think we'll get any new announcements of a new Doctor if indeed it is Capaldi's final season. I don't think we'll get anything new until after sometime well into the season or shortly after the season concludes.
I beg to differ, because I mean, look, Capaldi was announced before Matt Smith departed, obviously, because we saw the eyebrows in Day of the Doctor.
Oh, true.
And, you know, we're talking about a national pastime in the UK. Who will be the new Doctor? I mean, it is something that burns through the national psyche.
It happened in July or something, right? It was June or July that they announced it.
I can't quite remember. I can remember that the BBC America coverage was atrocious. Which is par for the course. So BBC America has become a pile of shit. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yeah, I think, like I said, by this time next year, we will start, you know, everything will be, we'll be discussing who's the front runner, because the BBC will drag it on. Mm-hmm. The BBC will, you know, because it will serve as hype. I mean, it will serve as hype for Capaldi's maybe last season. And if it isn't his last season, or if it is his last season, you know, who's going to be the replacement? And of course, we're going to go through the same shit we went through before Capaldi was put in, he better not be another guy. He better not be old. He better not be white. He better not be, you know, bipedal, and all the usual malarkey that we go through. So yeah, we'll see. But I think by this time next year, the discussion will be picking up, and we will find out who the front runners are, because the book, it's like I said, people place bets on it in the UK. I mean, mm-hmm. That's just the way it is.
I'm hopeful that I'm hoping he'll come back. He's been a fantastic Doctor. I think it seems like such a short period of time that he's been the Doctor. It has been two seasons, and by the time he finishes, it'll have been 4 years of him as a Doctor, which is more than Matt Smith. But Yeah, I'm. I guess we'll find out. Maybe this time next year we'll be. You like Ed, you said we'll be ruminating, but taking over will be Chris Chibnall of Broadchurch fame. So Chris has, he's been handling that fantastic show. If you haven't watched on Netflix, please definitely do, or on BBC America.
Watch season one.
Yes,
season one, great. Season two, not so much. And don't even bother with the Fox remake.
Yeah, don't bother. Exactly. Even though David Tennant was on it, forget it.
I got nothing but love for David Tennant and the fact that he can do a great English accent and various other things. His American accent is just atrocious.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I totally agree.
Yeah. So let's see what happens. Because, not only did he, write, I'm looking. He's written for Doctor Who in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He wrote, let me see. I've actually got his IMDb up. He's actually written 6 episodes of Doctor Who.
Yes, yeah.
Let me see. Magician's Apprentice. Actually, he's written 5 and has been in 1, apparently. He was a character called Blowfish in last year. But he wrote The Power of 3, Dinosaurs on a Spaceship, yep. Cold Blood, and The Hungry Earth, which I did like. That's the one that reintroduced the Silurians.
Yes.
So and then obviously he has written a lot of other things. He's written Law and Order UK with a couple of ex-Doctor Who vets who appeared there, Freema Agyeman being one of them. He wrote a couple of episodes of Life on Mars, which was, if you haven't seen that, which you should. Is
the UK version, right?
Yeah, the UK version. It's an excellent, mm-hmm. excellent time travel series. But then he obviously wrote a lot of Torchwood. Mm-hmm. 7 episodes, and some of them were really quite good. He wrote Day One, which was the first one. Then he wrote Cyberwoman, which was not so good. He wrote Countryside, which was definitely one of the scariest ones for me. I mean, that was the one with the cannibals in the little Welsh village in the middle of nowhere, which was always has a special place in my heart for another reason because. An old friend of mine appeared in that one. Her name's Max.
Oh, really? Williams.
Yeah. She's an actress that I used to act with when I was a kid. And she's been on the show Stella as well. And so, he's written a lot of really good stuff. And a lot of it has been, the fact that he stepped outside of Torchwood and, Doctor Who and has done stuff like Law and Order and has done Spooks, which is MI6 over here, I think it's called.
Yes, oh, I see.
So he's written on that. He's written some historical stuff. So yeah, he's written a lot of varied stuff, which is good. It's going to bring something different to the table. Russell T. Davis wrote in a more soap opera-y style with his previous shows like Queer as Folk, and he brought that to Doctor Who as well as his love of it, which meant that sometimes the sci-fi got a little bit sidetracked. Mm-hmm. And then Moffat came in and created some great monsters, but I don't really think he's ever written a truly gripping sort of like emotional episode. Mm-hmm. The end of Capaldi's first season comes to mind with how they managed to knock that one up. So yeah, maybe Chibnall can actually bring perhaps the best of both worlds because he's worked for both, for both showrunners. He's worked with them extensively and, he's done time travel. He's done, real worldy type stuff. He's done historical and he's done fantasy. So there's a whole lot of, potential with Chris Chibnall. And I'm cheerfully or cautiously optimistic.
Yeah. He seems like a solid choice, an almost obvious choice for the role. So for the position. So good. I'm actually looking forward to it. I'm curious to see what spin he'll bring. He's done more within the Doctor Who universe, I guess you could say, than Moffat did before Moffat joined. Cause obviously Chibnall did those episodes. Like you said, he had the episode, the Torchwood, he had his hands kind of in all over the place. So yeah, I'm excited.
He's being groomed from within. You know, they've. I like to make the analogy that the best sporting teams promote from within when it comes to their management, people who know the organization, and he knows yet has done enough other stuff to be able to expand on that. And you know, this might actually lead to the reintroduction of some of the Torchwood team to the new Doctor Who,
correct?
Yeah. Which will be fantastic. I mean, we keep on seeing John Barrowman on Arrow.
Oh, he wants to get back into the Who universe so badly.
But yeah, I mean, you know, what Moffat's done with some of the legacy characters mm-hmm. from, and I've said this before, from Russell T. Davis's time is rampantly disrespectful. Just sure. like the way he's rewritten canon over and over and over.
It does, yeah.
So, you know, maybe Chibnall can sort of like have that little bit of balance. You know, he can bring balance to the time force, as it were. I'm looking forward to it. I'm down. Mm-hmm. I'm just glad to see him. I'm glad to see Moffat go. I mean, he outstayed his welcome by a good 2 years. I mean, he should have gone. Day of the Doctor is still his high point for me.
Yes, I totally agree as well.
Because the Christmas special that followed the Matt Smith goodbye was a little meandering
mm-hmm.
And not the best. But the Christmas specials always tend to be hit and miss. And it would have been nice. But perhaps, you know, when Chris Chibnall, at the time, he was working on Broadchurch season 2, I think, then. And he was working on Grace Point, which was the US adaptation. So maybe he just wasn't available, as it were. But yes, we'll see. We'll see. Yep. I mean, he does seem to be a Man United fan, which is really quite disturbing. But apart
good from that, for good for him, because I am also a Man United fan. Sorry, Marcus. anyway, so Chris Chibnall, you know, we have the 1 year delay, which they're doing supposedly because of the Olympics and a bunch of other programming that they have going on. So we'll see how all that plays out. 2017. However, there is Who to be had within 2016. Like you mentioned, there's going to be the Christmas episode, which there's been buzz online that it's going to be a little bit more than the average Christmas episode. They're going to try to do some fun things around it. So I'm hopeful for a little bit longer episode, maybe some webisodes, you know, leading up to it and around it. But you also have Class, the TV series Class, about, you know, the kids coming out this year, which actually should be airing in April or May, I believe.
I'm understanding that's going online.
Is it going online now?
And, you know, regular Brits who live back in the homeland can correct me on this, but my understanding is that the BBC have shut down, or in the process of shutting down BBC Three.
Yes, this is what I'm hearing.
Transferring it to an online hub
mm-hmm.
As part of their greater, you know, launch for the new iPlayer and a lot of other things that they've got coming up, which is one of the reasons we're seeing Doctor Who and Torchwood and a lot of other shows slowly disappearing from Netflix and Hulu and everything else, because those are going to be archived for the BBC service, which will be great. I mean, I hope. I mean, I don't mind, you know, paying a couple of extra bucks to the Beeb to access all sure. the Doctor Who stuff that we don't get access to right now. And, you know, seeing it in its original British version, not trimmed, because when BBC America airs stuff now,
they trim it. So Doctor Who is back on. They had yanked it off of Netflix because of the contractual issues, but it has a reemerged now on Amazon Prime. So Doctor Who is on Amazon Prime. However, I don't think any of the classic episodes of Who are on there, which is kind of the real travesty, because I haven't watched all the classic episodes. So I'm hopeful that it does make its way back to Netflix. Netflix is my singular home for viewing these, you know, viewing these types of things. And there isn't a BBC app for any consoles or devices, really. There may be for the, you know, they may have it for the Apple TV or for the iPhone or iPad, but I watched through my Xbox and PS4 on my TV and stream Netflix through that. So unfortunately, there isn't a BBC app yet, but there may be, for all we know.
Oh, no, it's coming. I mean, you said the BBC, you know, this is part of, you know, the cost cutting that they've been forced to do by the Tories. They, you know, some of the radio stations are going online only, and, you know, they've got so much stuff coming along. That, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest with you, to, if we don't see BBC America shuttered sooner rather than later, especially as it's now, I mean, it's basically devolved into reruns of Star Trek The Next Generation and then a bunch of crappy 15-year-old films every night of the fucking week. I mean, seriously, if it, you know, this, there's often, you know, often black Doctor Who reruns on a Saturday with those horrible graphics that they put in there. Oh, I don't want to see your fan art. Please fuck off. yeah. So, I mean, it might actually be nice that if, you know, one has Hulu or a Roku box or a Fire Stick. I mean, we have both on top of the consoles and stuff, that those apps appear and we, you know, put a little sub in and we get to see everything. I mean, it's just the way it's going. And I would, you know, I would, if it meant, like I said, getting uncut, no commercial break, Doctor Who and a bunch of other stuff in a timely manner along, you know, the same time as the UK gets it, sign me up. Sign
definitely.
Me up.
Definitely. I think the, yeah, I couldn't agree less. Couldn't agree more. and last but not least, there's been a lot of rumors about Doctor Who more on the entertainment aspect and really the popularity of the Lego Dimensions Doctor Who. By the way, did you ever get that second set, the Cyberman and the Dalek?
No, I haven't. I saw it in Target a couple of weeks ago. I was thinking of buying it. I just
I ended up getting it for like $6 or $5 or something. It was on sale at Best Buy, I think. But
yeah, I'm gonna have to get it because it looks like Lego Dimensions died on its ass.
Oh, totally. Yeah. They haven't released anything new. But there's been rumors in the kind of back channels that there's something Doctor Who potentially coming down the line. Nothing. These are completely you know, unsubstantiated rumors. They're just folks are talking that hey, it'd be great, and it seems like the right time. So I'm hopeful that we hear something in the next few months here. I know E3 is right on the corner, but I don't think that would be a place for you to announce a Doctor Who game.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
E3 is.
Let me just say,
there may not be anything left at E3 by the time we get there.
Oh, come on. E3, look, E3's gone through this every 8 years. So what? If, I mean, Activision will still be at the show. They just won't have a booth, which is just as well because they take this huge space, seal it all off anyway. It's all behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be surprised if Telltale make an announcement.
That would be great. I would love that. That's the one we've been hoping for, either Telltale or a straight full-on Lego Doctor Who. But we'll see. Couple quick little notes. Make sure you go out and get the Big Finish episodes. The trailer for the 10th Doctor and Donna appeared online the other day, which is fantastic to hear Tennant and Tate together again. So that's fantastic. That's coming, I believe, in beginning of April. And as for a new companion, in a recent interview, when Capaldi, I think it was maybe a similar interview, I'm not sure, or the same interview where he talked about potentially sticking around longer, that he was asked about the next companion for Doctor Who, and he said that they've been searching. And I'm going to read the quote. And this is directly from Capaldi. He says, "The search is going pretty well. I think you'll know fairly soon where we are with all that. I don't know whether they would be involved in a Christmas special because it's so specific, the story we're doing with the companion." So we may be hearing about this new companion fairly soon, and I'm hopeful for something different than than kind of the typical poppy happy girl, female companion that we've been getting. I'd love to see something a little bit different. So,
you've got to imagine Chibnall's having an input on this.
Yes,
because you know they're not going to have a one season wonder as an assistant or a companion. Sorry. But then the Radio Times published something today, which is basically five things Peter Capaldi thinks you should know about Doctor Who Series 10. And the first thing is that it's there's way more action and space travel and less of the emotionally stuff. He's actually going to face a truly cosmic threat, which is hopefully just not the fucking Daleks again.
Yeah.
but makes me think that this time we might see an alien.
I'd love it. I'd love it. Something new and fresh. Yeah.
Yeah. We might see an alien companion who might actually just, you know, tap into this greater threat, as it were. So yeah, I'd like to see an alien companion or even two. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there's always a good dynamic. I like the Rory Amy dynamic. Yes. It grew on me. It really mm-hmm. did. At first, he was just like this wet blanket. I didn't like the love triangle aspect. Once that was kicked to touch, then it became way more enjoyable to me. And I was actually, you know, towards the end there when they left, I was actually, you know, quite sad. But mm-hmm. it would be nice to see, you know, perhaps have a different dynamic where you have a guy and a girl or two girls yeah. or whatever. You know, I'm not going to say two guys because let's face it, nobody wants the TARDIS to turn into a sausage fest. but I mean, it would be interesting. And, you know, but again, I don't know if we can trust, you know, O Glorious writer right. to actually write something decent for the side characters without buggering it all up. And killing a character perhaps before, you know, killing the potential of a character before Chibnall arrives.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to that too. It seems like 2017 will be a year of a lot of news, or sorry, 2016, a lot of news, maybe not a lot of episodes, but a lot of Doctor Who related news as things start to settle and start to take shape for the future of Who. But really, that's all we had for today. We actually spoke quite a bit. We've knocked about, 25 minutes or so. Unfortunately, Stephen, like I mentioned, he was running some errands. He wasn't able to hop on. And you know what's going to happen is as soon as we hang up, he's going to say, "Hey, guys, I'm ready," which is very typical of
him. He's lost. Look, you guys recorded without me last time.
Who cares? Yes, who cares? Did you get the Doctor Who Lego set, by the way, the actual
TARDIS. Oh yes, I have the TARDIS. I have the TARDIS. I haven't built it yet because I still haven't built. Yeah. I finished building my Millennium Falcon from last year. Okay. And I mean, I'm actually. This is the reason I haven't gone and got the last, you know, couple of Lego Dimensions kits that I want. Uh-huh. Is I'm in the middle of relocating my games room.
Oh, okay.
To another room in the house, which means everything. And you've seen pictures of yes. how much crap I've got. Everything is being carefully boxed up and then, you know, put to one side, sure. stuff's being moved out of the other room, then all the stuff's being moved in, all the shelves and everything. But it's actually so I can have more space mm-hmm. so then I can finally get around to building things like the TARDIS, because I'm not building that shit yet and transporting it and breaking it.
Yes, that would suck. That would definitely suck. Cool, good for you. I haven't picked up the TARDIS yet. I'm interested. But here's an interesting story just to kind of close out the show. So I'm just starting a new project at the office, and I'm speaking to this gentleman, one of the teammates, and I've known this guy for years now. We've been working together on other projects, but this is the first time I actually ever hung around his desk. And as I'm talking to him about this project, I look over, and lo and behold, there is the 11th Doctor and Amy. Bricks, a little tiny brick set. I think they were the minifigs.
All right,
still in the box. And I thought, who's the Doctor Who fan? And this is Dennis. He said that, you know, Dennis says, "Oh, I'm a Doctor Who fan." I said, "You're a Doctor Who fan?" I said, "Yeah." So this gentleman, Dennis, is in his 60s, but terrific gentleman, terrific guy. And I said, "I really wish I would have known that because, you know, I'm one of the co-runners of a podcast," and I explained everything about Lonely TARDIS, and he got really excited. So I've created a new Doctor Who bond friend with someone in my office that I had not known was a fanatic. And this guy is also a complete fanatic. Has seen every episode, and he brought in photographs of his all his cool things. So shout out to Dennis.
Big ups to Dennis.
I'm excited to have yet another Whovian in the office. That being said, that's it for today. Marcus, thank you. I'm glad we were able to kind of hook up here and chat about this, all the breaking news. And I'm sure, you know, as soon as we hang up, there'll be more breaking news. We'll have to get together again soon. But I think the next step will be once everything kind of settles in the real world, we'll get the team back together and maybe, start figuring out some further plans for some of the other interesting things we had talked about doing. So
indeed.
Most definitely. Thank you, Marcus. Where can they find you?
You can find me at AnnoyedGamer, and you can find me at No Comments Cast, which I'm actually going to record a new one this week because I've got a lot of games to talk about, including The Division.
Which make sure everybody subscribes to the No Comments Cast, and let's get Marcus's podcast up there pretty high.
Oh, subscribe to this one too.
Oh yeah, yeah, let's subscribe to this one. Definitely, yes. And you can find me at Dolly Domofsky all over the place. Now I've finally switched over the majority of my social media to Dolly Domofsky. But find us at Lonely TARDIS on the Twitters, LonelyTARDIS.com. Rate and review us. It'd be so awesome. I know we say it often, but please do it. I might actually lead off the show next time telling everybody to rate and review us. Follow Steven at Steven Strum and follow Sean at Sean Norton. And keep everybody in your happy places right now. So, with that said, thank you everyone. We love you guys, and we can't wait to talk to you again soon. Thank you, Marcus. Take care, everyone.
See ya.